I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on patreon.com/FU Network TV and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Hey everyone, it is Michelle Badusky keeping it real with you here on Ed the Socks FU Network or on our own website, michellebadusky.ca. Wherever you're tuning in, thank you so much for joining me today. Today is April 13th. It is Monday when I'm recording this. It's Tuesday when you're listening to this. And I just wanted to, you know, I know you're probably getting sick of hearing about COVID-19. I know you're getting sick of it. I'm getting sick of talking about it, but the truth is, this is our reality. Now, I'm going to start today's show by doing something that I don't think anyone has ever heard me do before on my show, and that's I'm going to start with a prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Yes, that's the serenity prayer. And you'll notice that I didn't start with God or creator or anything like that, because it does not matter what faith or religion or whether you're agnostic or whether you are atheist. It doesn't matter. That prayer is relevant to all of us as human beings. Grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's what today's show is about. It is about the new normal and adapting to our new reality here as we are facing COVID-19 going into mid-April. The Manitoba provincial government just announced today that they are extending the public health regulations for social and physical distancing, as well as not all non-essential business closures to April 28th. That's a two-week extension. I'm actually really surprised today. If you're following me online at all, you will have noticed that I got a little testy. I was a little salty online today, a little more than usual, because it was shocking to me while we were watching the Premier Brian Pallister speak today, how many comments on his show on CBC, I was watching it live, were, are we reopening? You know, it was only supposed to be to April 14th. Can I open on Wednesday? And I was getting a little testy because it's like, how clueless do you have to be to not understand what is being said to us? Now, we had just received last week, we received the projections nationally from the government of Canada, from the health officials and the experts in our country that say that best case scenario, we will see the peak of this virus early summer, which means as the virus, as we, you know, the virus infections come down, we still need to maintain all of these controls to avoid a second peak and flatten the curve, not just, you know, slow it down, but flatten it so that we don't get a second peak. We know we're going to get a second wave, but we want it to be like down at the bottom and kind of slowly coming up like that so that we can maintain it. What we don't want is a second peak. And the minute we release those restrictions, if we don't do it late enough, we're going to see a second peak of this initial wave, and we don't want that. And it absolutely astounds me how many people still today are going, well, can't we just reopen? I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. I need to get my nails done. I need to get my hair done. Now, if you're listening to me on my podcast, on SoundCloud or Ed the Socks, you know, FU Network, you can't see what I'm doing right now, but I'm showing the viewers my roots. For those of you who don't know, I'm actually naturally brunette. I'm Métis. My hair is naturally jet black, as you can see. It's not so much anymore the blonde that you're used to. It's taken me 2 years to get it to be blonde on my way to silver, and now I've got like literally a black stripe around my head. I get it. You want to get your hair done. You want to get your nails done. You want all of these things that we used to do and take for granted. Well, that's not going to happen, at least not for the foreseeable future. The province of Manitoba announced today that they are extending the non-essential business closures for at least 2 weeks to April 28th. Now, They didn't say at least. I was corrected online when I said at least, but the reality is that once we get to the end of the month, that could be extended again. There's no guarantee that suddenly on April 28th, everything's going to magically reopen and we're going to be back in business and act like this has never happened. The chances of that happening are slim. Now, I know that I have been accused of being negative. People have asked me on my page, on my Facebook and Twitter page, why I'm not sharing statistics like recovery rates and who has recovered and all of this stuff. And I'm doing it on purpose. Not because I want to be negative, but because I want to deal in reality. I want people to understand that this is serious, that we are not at the peak yet, that Manitoba has a low infection rate compared to the rest of the nation. We are at 246, I think it was today. I'll double check that, but right around the 243, 246 rates. I've got my phone in front of me, so I'll take a look. But even though we are late, 246 diagnosed cases and 4 deaths from COVID-19 as of today, which is April 13th. And people all over Manitoba saw those numbers and went, yay, we're doing great. You know, yeah, I guess we are. Social distancing is working. We are slowing down the infection rate as far as we know. And that's why we need to maintain it until that curve not just peaks, but comes back down and flattens. So this is going to be a while. This isn't going to be tomorrow. This isn't going to be 2 weeks from now. We are going to be dealing with a new reality post COVID-19. And that's why I wanted to use the Serenity Prayer today, because it's not about negativity. It's about accepting the things we cannot change. And that is something we cannot change. We cannot change the fact that this global pandemic is changing the lives that we knew. We took so much for granted. I feel like here in Manitoba, especially in rural Manitoba, we have gotten used to a way of life that is very, you know, even, you know, I grew up in poverty. I grew up with nothing, and I struggled to get to where I am today. And I know what it's like to not have groceries. I know what it's like to not have a home. I know those things. I know what it's like to have to wonder whether or not to pay my rent or pay my hydro or buy groceries. I know what it's like to go without food so that my kid could eat. I've lived that. But compared to the rest of the world, it was still a very privileged life. And if you see some of the countries around the world that are dealing with COVID-19 and the extreme circumstances, you will know how lucky we are. And this disease has kind of taken that from us. And I think for a lot of people, it was a real rude wake-up call about how dependent we have become on others in our society. You know, little things, you know, I'm kind of making a joke about my hair or my nails, but really, you know, we've lost the ability, not all of us, but we've lost the ability to cook. We've lost the ability to self-entertain, which I find really disturbing. I watch people online every single day saying that they're going crazy from the isolation, that they don't know what to do, that they're losing their mind, that they're suffering. And yet they have the internet. They are online. They're connecting with people. And I think back to my time up in Churchill, Manitoba as a single mom when I was working 10-hour days. I lived in the hotel that I was working at with my 6-year-old son. It was just me and him, and I would literally go from the front office to our little suite in the hotel, and he would hang out with me all day. And for 6 months, that's what we did. Actually, sorry, 4 months. I was there for the summer season, and it was the summer. So, you know, we did get out. We went for walks. We went and did things like that. That was, you know, that was interesting. You know, it was in 2000. And it was before social media really, really hit. It was, you know, we did have the internet. We did have email. I did have a cell phone, although it was extremely expensive. But compared to now, that was, you know, isolation. And someone who's 20 years older than me, or 30 or 40 years older than me, or has lived through more extreme circumstances, is probably even listening to me going, oh my God, that's nothing, girl. You don't know nothing. Kind of like when I'm seeing people now going, okay, you've got, you know, Netflix, or you've got internet, you've got cell phones, you've got all this connectivity and this ability, and yet we're still unable to handle a few weeks, let alone a few months of, and it's not even isolation, it's physical distancing. You can still leave your house. You can still talk to people. You know, my oldest son is turning 26 in a couple weeks. He lives four blocks away from me. We haven't been in the same room for about a month now because my family, due to my youngest child having asthma, we have been social distancing and being very adamant about our physical and social distancing since mid-March, you know, right before, about, I think it was about March 16th. And so it's been a month for us now. So I haven't actually been in the same room with him or seen him or hugged him or anything like that. But, you know, we go for walks and we go to his house and one of the little kids goes and bangs on his door and then we run away and we stand about 6-7 feet actually further because my youngest are pretty adamant about it. We stand about 10 feet away and we yell at him while he stands on his porch. So we still have that ability. You know, we can still go for walks. We can still do that. We're still lucky enough to be able to have essential services like groceries and drug stores and liquor stores. And we have all of this. It's not as convenient as it is. We might have to stand in line. We might have to stand 6 feet away. Here in my family, we have been making a grocery list and shopping once a week. But instead of going as a couple, because grocery shopping was a big thing to me, because those of you who know me know I love to cook. But now we make one meal plan for the week. We make a grocery list and one of us goes grocery shopping on Saturdays and we get it done for the week. And if we run out, then we make do. That's how we've been doing it. Again, because my youngest is immunocompromised, it's essential. You know, we have family, we have parents. My mother's in isolation in Brandon. My husband's mother is living alone in Brandon. We've got, you know, sisters, and we have family too. And yet somehow people think that I'm immune because I've been trying to find ways of coping with this new reality. And I've been doing it for a month. And I want to share that. I want to have that conversation. And, you know, I think it's really cool that Ed the Sock did a podcast today, a live podcast. It's like vent, rant, you know, this sucks. And you know what? It does suck. It absolutely sucks. I wish we didn't have to do this. I wish I could go get my hair done. I wish I could get my nails done. I wish I was not on the verge of losing my business. Because that's the other reality. There's a financial reality to this. That, you know, the federal government of Canada has announced all sorts of help for individuals and businesses to help them cope with COVID-19. Now, is it enough? It's a lot. Economically, I'm not sure how we're going to get over it. I think it's necessary, but it doesn't hit every gap. You know, not every single person is going to get the help they need or that they want. It's just not possible. I know that. And I happen to actually, I run multiple businesses and I fall through the gaps there. I was able to take advantage. My credit union, Sunrise Credit Union, was extremely helpful to me. That one of my businesses, where I actually own the building, they were able to defer the payments for me, like the mortgage payment. So that was extremely helpful. But that doesn't mean I don't owe, you know, utilities and taxes and those operating expenses on a building that's now sitting empty and unused with no revenue coming in. Another one of my businesses, probably the one you're most familiar with, is located in Brandon. Now, I actually sold this business to my oldest son not too long ago, only a few months ago, which means that because he just recently took it over, he doesn't qualify for any of the benefits that are recently released from the federal government. So either I kind of let him sink with that, or I kind of take it back and go, okay, I'll accept the responsibility, which I kind of have to, as a mom, you know, it, it's, it's not his fault. I don't want his whole future kind of, anyways, you know, kind of have to. And that's a whole different, you know, whole different ball of wax, because then you're talking about you know, commercial leases and rents and things like that. And we're working with our landlord who is not in the city. I've never actually met them. It was just recently bought. So we have some issues there. My point is that I get it. I get that this is hard. I get that the fact that suddenly your kids are home and we have to homeschool, or that you're kind of stuck at home with a spouse that maybe you don't like, or maybe it's not safe. I get it. I don't want anyone to ever think that I don't understand the reality of those things. But it's a fact that we cannot change. We cannot change this. We cannot change the fact that this pandemic is killing people. We cannot change the fact that we are at risk, that, you know, I'm just looking at the numbers here, that Manitoba as of today has 246 diagnosed cases and 4 deaths. Canada has almost, has 25,000 cases as of today and 734 deaths. And globally, there's over 2 million people diagnosed with COVID-19, and over 100,000 people have died from this disease that there is no vaccine for, no real treatment for. And yet I'm still listening to people tell me about how, well, our numbers are low. Well, the reality is that here in Manitoba and across Canada, we have actually only tested 2% of our population, less than 2%. I'm rounding up. 2% of our population has been tested, and those are the numbers, which means we have no idea who is infected. We have no idea how many cases there really are. So if you look around Manitoba and go, oh, there's only, you know, oh, there's only 200 cases, we're safe, why do we have to do this? Those are only the cases that we know of, because we're not testing everyone. We're not testing 98% of the population. And there's that popular meme going around, and I don't share a lot of memes on my social media, but this one I did. If I gave you a bowl with 100 Skittles and told you that 3 of them were poisoned, would you eat any of them? I wouldn't. And yet here we are risking our lives from a disease when only, you know, 2% of us have been tested. We don't know who is infected. We don't know who is contagious. We don't know if we are infected or contagious, because there could be asymptomatic carriers. We don't know any of that. So the numbers, while, you know, useful for projections, do not tell us the whole story, which is why social physical distancing and these public health essential non-essential business closures are so important. We need to stay away from each other, because it's the only tool we have. It's the only weapon against COVID-19 we have. And yet people are going, it's no big deal, or the numbers are low. Well, that's not true. And I know it sucks, but it is a fact. We cannot change it. At least another 2 weeks, at least. Okay, I'm gonna say it, at least. I'm pretty sure, and I will be happy to be corrected in 2 weeks if I'm wrong, but it's my prediction that in, you know, 2 weeks from now, that the Manitoba government will announce another extension of this non-essential business closure and social distancing protocols for another 2 weeks. Based on the national numbers, based on the projections that Dr. Tam released last week, we know that we are not going to hit the peak and start coming down the other side until summer. We know this on a national basis, and they're not going to start opening up individual provinces, or else we're just going to, you know, increase the spread. We know this. So why isn't the province of Manitoba just saying, okay, that's it, everything shut down until the end of May? Because if they did that, people would freak. They'd go, oh my God, I can't stay at home for another 6 weeks. Who's gonna pay my bill? People would freak. So instead of ripping the Band-Aid off, they're gonna piecemeal out, you know, these announcements to keep the peace. Now, maybe things will change and in 2 weeks, everything will open back up and it'll all be gone. Maybe. That is best case scenario. That's something we should all be hoping for. But the reality is that we need to prepare for the worst case scenario, that these extensions will continue through and until, and maybe even till the end of summer, but at least until June. So this is the reality that we need to accept. We cannot change it. No matter how much we bitch, no matter how much we complain, we cannot change it. Although I will say, if we don't follow social distancing measures, we will change it, but we will change it for the negative. We will actually make it worse. For all of you who are complaining that, you know, or asking online, like I saw today, who is doing nails out of their home and what dog groomers are open? For all of you who are getting together and partying, who are having friends over, or for the assholes that are holding the protests saying we need to end this isolation and we need to end government's, you know, intrusion into our life, like we saw today in yesterday in Vancouver, and they're, you know, having anti-distancing protests where all these people are getting together to just prove their superiority. As long as these things are happening, we're making things worse. We're going to continue to make this worse and make it last longer because apparently we can't learn as a human species. You know, people are talking about some of the things that happened in China, that 76 days they're starting to reopen their economy. That's because they locked everything down. They literally, we talk in Canada, and I hear people bitching about, you know, Canadian lockdown, we're in quarantine, we're in lockdown. No, you're not. You're being asked to stay at home and watch Netflix and go to the grocery store, you know, once a week and go for walks, but stay 6 feet away from each other. And you can still go to the liquor store and you can still go to the post office and the drugstore. That's not lockdown. If you think that's lockdown, you have no freaking clue what lockdown is. When they shut things down in Wuhan, they literally locked it down. You were not leaving your home. All of those stories that you saw about Italy and how everyone was standing on their porches and singing, it was beautiful. But they literally were not going anywhere. That's where we're headed if people don't start listening here and start taking the necessary precautions to follow the rules. And those rules are not some government conspiracy. There's no 5G nanotech biological conspiracy to control you. This is not a left-wing conspiracy to gain control. This is not a right-wing. It's not a conspiracy. It's a pandemic. This is, you know, whatever God, whatever nature, whatever science you believe, it's that evolution, right? It's the evolution of nature. And this is a virus that we've never seen before that we don't have the ability to fight at this time. That's a reality that we need to accept. That's what we need, the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. We cannot change that. Now the courage to change the things that we can. That courage comes from the fact that, okay, here I am. What do I do? How do I make the best of it? There's not much I can do at this point to deal with my businesses. That's kind of up to my landlord. It's kind of up to the government. I have no way of making an extra $6,000 to pay the bills on a business that is sitting empty at this point. I just can't. So that's a reality I have to accept. There's nothing I can do about it right now. So worrying about it, staying up all night, crying my eyes out, railing against the machine and arguing and fighting about it, that's not going to change anything. It just is what it is at this point. But the things I can change are things like my attitude. You know, I got a little pissy today online, and it's not because I'm trying to be negative. It's because I'm sick of people making it worse. I'm sick of the conspiracy theories. I'm sick of the politicking. I'm sick of the posturing. What we need to do is realize that this is where we are, and our attitude is going to make it livable or make it freaking miserable. And I don't want to be miserable. I spent too much of my fucking life being miserable to do it now, especially locked in the house with my kids and my husband. I don't want to be miserable. I want to make the best of it. I want to change what I can. And the one thing I can do is change my attitude. I can change my behavior. Okay, social distance. Distancing is there, physical distancing. I'm not going out to eat, but I can make sure my kids are eating great. I can cook. I can, you know, I can clean. I can do those things on my to-do list that I said I would always do if only I had the time. Now we find out whether or not that's bullshit or not. Am I really going to clean up my cupboards? Am I really going to wash my walls? I don't know. I guess we'll find out in the next 2 weeks, but I made a list. I think it sucks that suddenly we got thrown into homeschooling, but I'm not going to blame the government and I'm not going to blame the teachers because they're in the same position that we are, fighting a disease. And we have to make the best of it and we have to accept it. So here I am. What am I going to do? Let my kids just play video games, watch TV, and eat chocolate all day? I can't do that. That's not fair to them. They need that. They need a structure. They need some kind of schedule. It doesn't have to be rigid, but it has to be involved. We can't live on, you know, vacation time. It's not leading by example. It's not making the best of it. So I need the courage for that. I need the courage to become a person that I never was before. I've never been a stay-at-home mom. I shouldn't say never. I have been for, you know, a few months here and there. After my late husband died, I took a year off. The truth is, I was never good at it. I was never good at it. I always felt like there was something else out there that I should have been doing. You know, I'd always worked. I'd always had an outside income. So when I was at home, I almost resented it. And I'm a little embarrassed to mention, you know, admit that now, but I kind of did. I was like, you know what? There's something else out there for me as an individual. And suddenly here I am homeschooling three kids for the next month and at very different levels, right? I have a kindergarten kid, a grade three kid, and a grade nine daughter. I also have an adult son who I'm trying to coach through this. And he, you know, he's at home, he's alone. And it's very interesting times. So I'm feeling that kind of pressure and I get it. So I need that courage. I need to find what's really important to me. Is it, you know, my hair appointment or is it making sure my kindergarten kid finishes this year being able to read? And what does that look like? What do those conversations look like? Do I have the courage to be more gracious that, you know, when my husband is working from home, thank God he's working from home so that he has the ability to do that. But, you know, when I'm upstairs and I'm cooking and I'm cleaning and I'm homeschooling three kids and he's downstairs and he's working, do I have the courage not to be selfish and realize that he's doing what he needs to do for us just like I'm doing what I'm doing? It's just different. You know, that takes courage. It takes courage to step outside your comfort zone. It takes courage to admit when you don't know anything. I've reached out to a lot of people in the last little while saying, can you help me? You know, what do I do here? My mom, who's 72, is a teacher. She's retired, obviously. She's in isolation. And we've come up with some interesting ways to, you know, work with the kids in a fun way without being overbearing and making it fun. But it's hard. It's not my skill set. It's not who I am, but it's who I'm becoming because I have to be. We have to be. What choice do we have? Are we going to be miserable? Are we going to make everyone around us miserable? Are we going to feel sorry for ourselves when everybody else is in the same boat? This isn't personal. Whatever your situation is and however COVID-19 is impacting you and your family or affecting you, it's not personal. This disease is not personal. It's not attacking you. It's attacking us, all of us. Every race, every age, every gender, every sex, every religion, every culture, every country. It's all of us, humanity. So railing against it and feeling victimized isn't going to help us. But finding the courage to reach deep down and go, oh, you know what? I'm going to survive this. I have to survive this. You know what? Whatever it looks like on the other side, whether I have no money, whether I have no business, whether I'm bankrupt, as long as I survive it, I can rebuild. And all I can think about is, what if this was a war? What if this was real, like a real attack with a real war or, you know, some monumental natural disaster that, you know, knocked out our infrastructure or knocked out, oh my God, our internet or our phone system or our banking system, our food supply. What if we were under attack by a virus with a higher death rate and it was literally killing off 10 or 20% of our population? What if? It's almost like this is a warning sign of how can we adapt? How can we change our behavior personally and at a national level so that we can be self-sufficient? And John Morton and I were talking on our Facebook page today, And for those of you who don't know John, him and I go head to head on a lot of issues, but this is one thing we agreed on. You know, Canada needs to, we need to work on changing our dependence on, you know, China and things like that. It's not a race thing. It's about being self-reliant. And whether we're self-reliant as a country, that's a big deal. And I get the economic and I get the socioeconomic ramifications of that. But the bigger picture is, can we be self-reliant as people? Can we do what we need to do to protect ourselves and others? And most of us, I think, are doing just fine. But there are those people that are out there. And if you're one of them, I want you to listen to this. You can do this. No one's attacking your freedoms. No one's attacking your privilege. No one's attacking you. This isn't about you. It's not about politics. It's not about government. It's not about big pharma. It's not a conspiracy. It's a disease. And the more we are able to adapt and overcome, the longer we will survive and the happier we will be doing it, whether it's as people, as a community, as a nation, or as a planet. We need to be able to adapt. And it takes courage because it's fucking scary. This is scary. This is a whole new normal. None of us have ever lived through anything like this before, and nobody knows what it's going to look like when we come out the other side. We have no idea what the economy is going to look like. We have no idea whether or not, you know, a vaccine. We don't know yet. And that's scary. It's scary for me too. I'm a control freak. Now, wisdom is knowing the difference between those things we can change and those things we can't. And I don't care how much you get on Facebook and bitch and complain and talk conspiracy theories and blame the government or accuse your neighbor, there is nothing we can do about those things. Not a damn thing. What we can do is work on ourselves, our own behavior, and our own attitudes to make the best of it. That means we need to make sure we are practicing social and physical distancing. We need to make sure our families are. We need to make sure we're taking care of our own mental, physical, and emotional health. And you do that by making sure you're not railing against something you have no control over, because that's like bashing your head against a brick wall. It's never going to make you feel better. And if that means stepping away from social media, then do it. For those of you who do follow me on Facebook, you'll know that I've shut down our Real Westmont page for just that reason. Absolutely just that reason, is because there's no sense constantly fighting against something you cannot change. And the only thing I can change at this point is me and my behavior and my attitude, and I'm trying the best I can. And sometimes I'm bitchy and salty and pissy, and other times I am inspirational and motivational, and I try to be. That's because I'm human. But I'm not going to sit there and beat myself up and think I'm going to have to be perfect. I am not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect teacher. I'm not a perfect wife. I'm not even a perfect motivational speaker or a perfect role model. I'm far from it. What I am is human. I am human, just like you. And I am vulnerable to this disease, just like you. And I have family that I love that are vulnerable and family that I want to protect. And I have finances at risk. And I have all of those things that you're dealing with. Maybe some of my problems are worse. Maybe some of yours are worse. This is not the time to sit there and, you know, go, but you don't understand. None of us do. This is new to all of us. It's a time to come together and to do what we can as individuals to accept the things we cannot change and change the things we can. Now, I want to hear from you. What are you accepting? What are you changing? And can you tell the difference? This is the new normal, and it's going to be the new normal for a while. And what the normal looks like after this, we have yet to see. But a lot of it's going to depend on what we do right now, today, tomorrow, and for the next few weeks. I guess the choice is up to you. Are you going to make the best of it, accept it, and have the courage to change what you can? Are you going to fight it every step of the way and make it as long and as miserable for yourself as possible? I want to know. Let's talk.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky.
You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is fun! The FU Network!